example of Lotz's critique. I mean, I think, you know, these are the kind of things that people generally would like to see in governments. Govern the country with integrity. Win the struggle with unusual tactics. Take under heaven without disturbance. Why do I know it is like this by this? The more prohibitions under heaven, the poorer people will become. The more sharp weapons people have, the more chaotic the country becomes. The more skill people develop, the more trinkets they make. The more laws and statues that arise, the more robbers and thieves there are. Therefore, the sage says, I do without doing, Wu Wei, and people become civilized by themselves. I prefer tranquility, and spontaneously people become upright. I do not disturb them, and by themselves people become rich. I have no desire, and spontaneously people become simple, poo. They become simple poo. Well, so what do we think of this? Sounds kind of familiar, but then not, right? Most of the people, actually, that I know who say we need less laws and more integrity and less government are also the people who say we need more guns and more freedom from people, right? So Lao Tzu says, govern the country with integrity, win the struggle with unusual tactics. Take under heaven without disturbance. Why do I know it is like this? By this. The more prohibitions under heaven, the poorer people will become. Okay, that sounds like standard operating procedure. The more sharp weapons people have, the more chaotic the country becomes. Now, this is the part that gets a little sticky for, I think, most academics, because he basically doesn't want people to do what y'all are doing. Because mostly what we teach y'all to do when you come to college is to name names more, to put names on everything, to find more reasons to prohibit stuff. And actually, even coming to college is itself, the culmination of a kind of prohibition, right? I mean, people who are here because it's the only way to get a job, you're prohibited from going to work. Okay, so we say, yeah, you need to be trained to be a doctor. You need to be trained to be a lawyer. You need to be trained to, right? The overwhelming majority of people who graduate from this university will more than likely be answering telephones and filing files. There's nothing wrong with that. That's what I do. Hey, what? What? You don't absolutely need that, right? Now, of course, I want to say the sacredness of learning is such that you need it in order to be. But a lot of the reasons that people are here, let's be honest, the reasons that the Board of Regents wants UNT Denton to be able to accommodate 45,000 students is that we need a trained workforce, right? Okay. So, the more skilled people develop, the more trinkets they make. The more laws and statutes, that's actually a misspelling. The more laws and statutes that arise, the more robbers and thieves there are. If you read that one way, you'd think, well, people must have liked to steal statues back in the day. We need to get rid of that. Uh-oh, there's an error. There's a mistake. Awesome. Okay, so discuss. Why do y'all come to class every day? Why is it mandatory? Huh? Okay, why do you need to show participation? Why do I need no killer instinct? So my job is what? Okay, what does that mean? Into your glasses? Okay. Why do I need to pour information into your glasses? Because you're...
We're asking about the subject.
Well, I'm not a very good Buddhist. You're empty of knowledge. You're empty of information.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. But if you don't come to class, but why do I do that? Do I seem like the type of person who in one way?
Absolutely.
I don't actually care, do I, whether or not y'all know a bunch of data and facts. I mean, it's okay. I mean, you want to learn how to make use of data and facts. You want to learn how to do research. You want to learn how to, you know, those are all important things for learning how to do. You know, everyone's going to use something different, and certainly it makes you better at being able to deal with sociocultural issues. But, you know, I want you to come to class not out of mandate, but out of desire. I have to punish you for not coming to class because I have a statute that I have to follow. Why do I have a statute that I have to follow? Because the amount of money that the university gets is connected to whether or not you come to class on a regular basis. So in order to make sure that you come to class on a regular basis, we have to punish you to make sure that you're here, because if we don't do that, you'll begin to not come to class, and once the state knows that you're not actually showing up for these courses, they'll give us less money. It's not. It stemmed from a different kind of desire. It's not from the desire. You know, my desire would be for you to come to class because I want you to become. I want you to better yourselves. Their notion is they need more. They need more people who are employable. So they have to figure out how they can force you to come to school. Because the state. That's what the state wants: more employable citizens. And the school wants to get paid the money because, you know, when you pay your tuition, it doesn't go directly to the school. It goes back to the state of Texas, and the state of Texas determines how much money they're going to give back to the school. Yes, the Republican state of Texas basically owns a corporation, educational corporation, called the University of North Texas. So, but at any rate, you know, if you show up, I would hope that you're showing up not because you're going to be punished. On the other hand, my hands are actually very tied. They watch these things. If I have to keep roll. If I don't keep roll, then, you know, now there might, if I were a tenured professor, it'd be a different story. I'm not a tenured professor. Right? So I have to, like, kind of keep, I have to keep a, I have to keep, I have to keep my eyes on you. Right. Okay. Well, let's talk about this. Let's talk about this now. The more prohibitions under heaven, the poorer people will become. Now, what does he mean by that? David, what do you think he means by that? We see under heaven now means the entirety of the world or the earth or the country. So under heaven's a code for the world or for the country. But the whole idea, of course, is that heaven orders the world so that if we were in conjunction with heaven, then our life would be better. But here then, so the notion of why leaders put forward prohibitions under heaven or across the land. It makes poor people. Why? Right. So you're doing good there by actually kind of pointing out that it's not actually about, they're not poor financially, right? It's that they're more incapable of living a rich life, right? A full life. Never lose sight that once you disconnect the word rich from money, and you let it kind of flow back into every day, right? What do you call a piece of cake that's full of chocolate and call it rich? Why is it rich? Because it's full. So a rich person actually is somebody who has full pockets. It's not somebody, right? It's not somebody full of chocolate, but maybe full of shit. Anyway, but the point here, of course, is that we, you know, with the more prohibitions that are put forward throughout a culture, it becomes more difficult for people to become fulfilled. Right? Why does it become more difficult for people to become more fulfilled? Huh? There's desires. What else? What else? If there's a prohibition, right. Why? Why would people? Why would the king, let's say, the great king under heaven, the ruler of the country, why would he make prohibitions, a lot of prohibitions for his people? Okay. Yeah. Do your parents give you prohibitions? Society has prohibitions, families have prohibitions, right? What does prohibit? What does that word mean, prohibit?
Well, do you want the etymology or the meaning of the word itself?
Well, I mean, what do you want to give me?
Well, it means that you're not allowed something.
Okay. Uh-huh. So what is the opposite of prohibit?
Inhibit?
Who said that? Inhibit? Maybe, I don't know. I think actually it's probably exhibit. But if I say that these words are related to each other, prohibit, exhibit, inhibit, what do you kind of like glean from that prohibit would probably mean? Huh? To not allow someone to, or prohibit would be to get ahead of somebody.
Yeah, pro means in front.
In front, okay.
And the other half of the prohibit means that the suffix is Latin, it's heavier, to hold.
To hold out, to keep from, to keep from. So exhibit would be to hold out, to allow people to see it, to exhibit. And then inhibit would be to hold in, right? To force you to an inhibition. All right. Well, I mean, you know, in one sense you might actually say that people begin to become inhibited. The more prohibitions you have, the more people become inhibited. The more people become inhibited, the less rich their life can be, right? Or poor. Now, keep in mind that he's writing these things, these issues are being written, you know, and coming to the forefront after 300 or 400 years of a lot of different wars between different civilizations in China, different cultures in China, excuse me, right? Zhu and Wu and Lu and Qi and Qin, they were all going at each other all the time, somehow. And then they were trying to consolidate, and about the time that half the north would get consolidated, the south would fall apart. The south would get consolidated, and the north would fall apart. They'd both be consolidated, and so they'd decide one of them needed to be in charge of the other. Right? So then you kind of come to this other one, then the more sharp weapons people have, the more chaotic the country becomes. Why does a country become more chaotic just because people have sharp weapons? Okay. if people have been overly prohibited, do you think at some point there's a breaking point to the prohibition? Okay. In one sense, you could actually say that the prohibitions usually always come with sharp weapons. Right? I mean, I think that you could say that a lot of the things that are mandated that you have to do in throughout your life in different areas are themselves. So sharp weapons doesn't have to be knives, swords, and guns and spears, right? Sharp weapons can also be the way that laws are used against people. Right. So you prohibit people, kind of poke them with sharp weapons to keep them moving in a certain direction. People develop skills. The skills help them make sharp weapons. They also help them make crap that they don't need. Right? Now, how many people in here believe that you have nothing you don't need? How many people in here believe that all the stuff that you have is necessary, that you needed it? There's nothing that you have that's unnecessary, that's unneeded. You have only the things you need. There are no trinkets. Nobody here has any non-trinket lives? What do we mean when we say this? When people get the skills, the more trinkets they make. I mean, you know, you want to be skillful, don't you? Don't you want to be skillful, right? You want to learn. You want to be able to do stuff. You want to, like, you know. But then, why as you gain skill, do you make more trinkets? Yeah. Sure.
You go to school, you go and you get educated, you learn, you want to get a really great job, start making a bunch of money, so you can afford more stuff, but then you get one more stuff so that it starts to encompass you, and you start focusing more on stuff versus just being the best person that you can be.
Yeah. I mean, you know, with all that skill you got, some of the trinkets, one of the trinkets that you can make is yourself. Or your persona, right? The more laws and statutes that arise, the more robbers and thieves there are. Statutes, not statues. I think that actually it's an interesting issue because on the whole, you know, when you hear about laws and statutes and things that are put forward, you know, you normally think that people have been doing something they shouldn't do, and so we've created a law, right? But technically, people weren't doing anything criminal until the law was created. So it's not actually until the law is created that you can say someone's a criminal, right? And actually, the business model of the United States is, business ethics model of the United States, 90%, they've done all kinds of surveys, and between 80 and 90% of all businessmen believe that business ethics equals not breaking the law, right? So long as you're not doing something illegal, you're not doing something unethical. But a lot of times the issue is that laws and statutes actually come about because people have decided that a certain kind of behavior, the legend of a certain kind of behavior is that it has a kind of immorality or unethicalness to it. Right? So... why would these things that have been detailed here, why would they throw off yin and yang? Why would they throw off yin and yang? Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. You're really good at catching my hypocrisy. I need to have you sort of walk around with me and say, wait a minute. So why would they throw off yin-yang? Stop and kind of look at, see if I can get both of these on the screen here. Pull this over. There we go. Okay. Stop and kind of look at 57's terms. The more prohibitions that are having, the poor people will become. That's kind of expanding. See, that's a yin characteristic. Excuse me, a yang characteristic. Sharp weapons people have, chaotic the country becomes. Aggressive, that's another yang characteristic. More skilled people develop, the more trinkets they make. Right? I would actually, bright, shiny things. And the more laws and statutes that arise, the more robbers and thieves there are, and there's more of that activity and aggressiveness, right? So you actually, what's going on in this is you're unbalancing yin yang by focusing on the yang aspect. And that's why the sage does things to bring things back into balance. The sage gets, as I like to say, yinny with it. I do without doing. I prefer, and then you know. So he or she leans toward the yin and toward contracting away from these kinds of overact. This overactiveness, becoming receptive to people and letting people do what they do. And so this is one of the most important concepts that if you can get a handle on it, I'm pronouncing words all kinds of strange today. I don't know why that's about. Must be all the LDS I did in the 60s. If you can get a handle on that particular concept, it's a very important notion, doing without doing. Notice, in contrast up here, these ones actually all are very busy. And so, to me, reading the Tao Te Ching, knowing that it comes out of a sociocultural condition, and it does a very of war and social unrest, and also out of the attempt to sort of, in one sense, to put an iron glove on social unrest, right? To create rituals and laws and prohibitions and what have you that will force people to discipline themselves and do, you know, and not be unrestful. Right? It comes out of that situation. But at the same time, while it's very Chinese, one of the reasons that it gets read by so many people over the centuries beyond China is that in its simplicity, it actually says a lot about just how human beings tend to keep getting into the same kinds of problems, right? So here, if you were to say this is yangy, and here the declension back to yin in the second, right? In order to get back to the wuji, to this sort of middle balance, right? And what's interesting to me about this, on the one hand, there are a lot of people who would want to make the argument, especially when you move into a second Tao philosopher, Tao thinker named Zhuangzi. He's very anti-academic because academia is controlled by people who follow Confucius, right? So Zhuangzi especially is very, very part of the everyday person and not academic. And but here I think that the major takeaway in the second part here, where he begins to get yinny, is to say, just like with the chair or the tree, if I have faith that people can be people, and I don't need to control them or punish them, right? I do without doing Wu Wei, and people become civilized by themselves. I prefer tranquility, and spontaneously people become upright. Well, what does that mean? I prefer tranquility, and spontaneously people become upright. By the way, that word would normally have been translated as peace, but I put my foot down and I said no. And in fact, actually, the word doesn't mean peace in Chinese. It means tranquil, but it would normally get translated as peace. I prefer tranquility, and spontaneously people become upright. What do you think that means? What do you think he means by upright?
Righteous.
That would be just. Yeah. Yeah.
So, in the stanza, do these lines correspond to lines prior to them? So, like, I would almost say opposite and whatnot, but like, the more skills they develop, the more training they make. So I do not serve them and by themselves, they become rich. Like, do they correspond in any way?
Well, they do kind of correspond back and forth. I mean, I've done it two different ways. I've started at the bottom and done like, I have noticed, okay, the more prohibitions under heaven, the poorer people will become. Mm-hmm. I have no desire, and spontaneously people become simple. Yeah. And then the more sharp weapons people have, the more chaotic the country becomes. I do not disturb them, and by themselves people become rich. I don't think that there's a one-to-one correspondence. I played around with them before, but I don't know. You're welcome to see if you can find a one-to-one correspondence. That might be what you do finally.
Yeah, after tranquility and spontaneously people become upright. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say it corresponds with the more laws and statutes that are set in the rest, the more robbers and thieves.
Right.
It sounds like it corresponds. Yeah. Right. And the I have no desire and spontaneous people become simple.
I thought he was just referring to himself. To him, it seems all like this.
He says, therefore, the sage says. That's another thing Lao Tzu does all the time. He doesn't necessarily say he is the sage. He's just describing to you what the sage does.
He's referring all of this to himself. To him, people became simple, right?
He's to the sage. Lao Tzu is describing how the sage defers these things, not how Lao Tzu does it.
Yeah, but who will become like a sage?
Right.
Simplify himself.
Right. Yes, right.
That's what
he's saying.
Yeah, yeah. It's a very similar concept that Islam also mm-hmm. has that many other religions also have this concept.
Yes, because it's about centering. It's about becoming centered, right? And what's interesting about it to me, that this commonality across the threads of these Axial Age philosophies and religions is this the basic notion here is that given the opportunity to not be disturbed, that you can actually have faith in people.
Yeah. Well,
right?
The concept that people aren't just emitters.
Right.
Human beings are emitters of each other.
Right. Yeah, and if you go around stirring up the water, being a mirror that contorts and stuff, then that reflection is what comes back to you. Yeah. So these two concepts, these two ideas that are here that you should try to get your head around, and that is doing without doing will weigh, and the simpler poo. So doing without doing is kind of like spontaneity, right? You don't plan to do it, and you just let it. And the simple or poo is when there is again, it kind of is related to this. It's like you don't. Poo is related to sometimes related to what's called the uncarved block. The uncarved block, and in that regard, what you're talking about is that the block is beautiful in itself, and it doesn't need to be carved, and it doesn't need to be put in gold, and it doesn't need anything. It is as it is in its simplicity, right? And so, of course, that obviously, that aspect, you know, corresponds to the notion of the making of trinkets, because trinkets a lot of times really aren't anything other than you take something very basic and then you just start fiddling around with it until you make it better, you make it more beautiful, you put gold or silver on it. So the concept that simple will be compared to is complex or gilding. Like when you put gilding on a rose, or you put gilding on a cup or something like that to make it more. Okay.